are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, I want to talk to you about a vision of the good fight this morning. I heard this story of a Midwestern farmer, and the farmer went out to the bank to borrow some money because he needed to buy some seeds. Oh, sorry, children, you're welcome to go to your classes. I thought I had already dismissed you. Okay. You were so quiet, that's why. There we go. So there was this farmer, as I was saying, right? And he wanted to go to the bank, and he wanted to borrow some money to buy some seeds to plant his whole fields with corn. And he fired up the old tractor and plowed for many days, and he broke the ground and spread the fertilizer over all the acreage. And then he planted his corn. And the rains came, and the corn grew. And one day, millions of grasshoppers flew on his property, and his precious crop acreages were being consumed by the day by these grasshoppers. So one Sunday morning, he went to pray at church, and he cried out to God, "Father, will we lose the whole crop, or will you spare it? I owe so much money at the bank." And so the farmer got up from his prayer with great faith. And as he was walking home from church that day, his heart kept saying, "Let the chickens out. Let the chickens out." And the farmer, he was like, he kind of pondered, like, how would letting the chickens out help me anyway? So the next day, the farmer got up early in the morning, opened all the doors of the chicken coops, and the chickens came out and they ate all the grasshoppers. Well, the chickens were so well fed that they began to overproduce with, they had lots of other little chicks and eggs. And so he was able to actually take his eggs and take all the chicks that were born, sell them, and that actually became his new business. Isn't that incredible? You see, God's wisdom is not like man's wisdom. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so the farmer believed in faith, but he knew he couldn't save the crop. He knew God had to save the crop. He believed in faith, but he knew God had to save the situation. And that's how God is in our lives. You know what? Many times we have faith, but God has a better idea. I've learned that about God. I have faith, but God has a better idea. For several years, the farmer realized the blessing of God because he listened and he opened up the chicken coop. Today, I believe God wants to open up the door of your heart, and he wants to stir a great faith and give you a vision of the good fight of faith. The Apostle Paul longed for Timothy, his son, in the faith to believe and be convinced that faith will fight. You have faith, you will fight. Have to remember that. That's why we need to pray that God will stir our faith. Timothy was struck in this season of discouragement, in this season of being disheartened, in this season where all those that he was ministering to at this moment in his ministry were discontent. Many who had learned the doctrines of the faith were turning to heresies and wrong teachings. Many were caught in the pleasures of the world, and their discontent wasn't because of their faith. It was because the enemy had begun to sway them into another direction to live out and seek worldly pleasure. There was this whole thing that was happening in the Ephesus church where people were becoming the lovers of money and the lovers of life's pleasure rather than the lovers of God's faith. God was ready to open up the chicken coop and stir up a bunch of squawkers. That's what he was about to do. Paul knew he had to charge Timothy to face his fears and overcome his intimidation. He exhorts him to fight this good fight of faith and challenges him to get a grip on reality. You see, the reality is not the answer we had always hoped for. The reality is God has every right to move in the realm of which he wants to move in order to bring about the results he's interested in. All he's asking is to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. You don't have to necessarily see it yet to believe it. But you need to believe it so that you can see it. He's telling Timothy it's a good fight. He reminds him to overcome. He reassures him that this fight is a good fight and it will become a good fight, and it's going to cause people in his church to begin to pursue with determination this walk, this lifestyle of faith. I'd like you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'd like to read verses 11 to 14, this charge to young Timothy. And it reads this: "But you, man of God," now that's really an important, you don't overlook that. "But you, man of God," that's the last time in the Bible that a man is called a man of God. Timothy, that's the last time. And it says, "Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." He says, "Fight the good fight of the faith." The faith. "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." As I look at those verses, I see that we have to determine in our heart, if you're filling in the blank, we have to determine in our heart to fight the good fight. It doesn't naturally happen. We're not equipped to do that on our own. It's something we can't just conjure up because we want to do it. It's something that the Holy Spirit, the purpose of God, the call of God work together and forms within us this determination to fight the good fight of faith, of the faith. And I want to share with you how we can fight this good fight of the faith. And it says in verse 11, one of the ways that you can do that is you can connect with God. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? No, it isn't. When you connect with God, you will learn to fight the good fight of the faith. And Paul wanted Timothy to flee this love of money, the worldly pleasures. And he wanted him to connect with God, and he wanted him to be Christ-like. He's saying, I want you to pursue these characteristics. He lists six characteristics for him to actually pursue. And he's saying, these characteristics, they're going to keep you in a place where your faith will be ready when God calls on you to activate that. And he's saying, I want you, and he says that in verse 11, he says, pursue God, connect with God so that you can pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And so he's just telling him, you need to connect so that this godly lifestyle is really second nature to you. And when we decide to connect with God, we avoid the pitfalls of poor decisions made and the interests of personal gain. And you see, he's been around these people who've been criticizing. He's been around these people who've been leaving the church in Ephesus, and the Lord is concerned that he himself might be influenced by that as a young pastor. And he's saying, You need to hold steady at this moment in your faith. This is a rough season, but I've taught you how to walk righteously. I've taught you how to be patient in your faith. I taught you what meekness and humility will do. I've taught you how to be godly. I'm asking you to stay focused no matter what's going on, what around you. We live in a society where a lot of things are going around us. A lot of heresy and wrong doctrine and rewrites of scriptures. And the word is very clear what is the word of God and what is indeed not. What is a godly lifestyle and what indeed isn't. And he's saying to Timothy, this is where you don't bend. This is where you stay focused and stay the course. And he just challenges him with this lifestyle. And he connected with Timothy and affirms him as a man of God because he's been fearful, because he's been intimidated, because he's discouraged, because the people that he's leading have dishonored him and his leadership. But Paul knows that that's not the only reason that he's behaving this way. It's actually something he struggled with in his faith since he's been a young man, ever before he was a pastor. And there are things in our lives that we become mature believers. And sometimes we hit a brick wall, a situation where we're so overwhelmed and we're like, what is happening? I thought I overcame this. I thought I beat this one. I thought what the enemy used to do in this category or area of my life, that was actually overcome. But sometimes to take us to new levels of faith, God will test our faith. God would allow it to be tested, circumstances to come into our lives so that that faith is actually refined. And that faith is not motivated by a personal gain, but it's motivated by what will gain the kingdom of God. And that's what he's teaching Timothy here. And he's saying, oh man of God, he's speaking into existence what he knew to be his spiritual inheritance. He speaks of this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We went over that last week. And he's telling him that you're a man of dignity. You're a man of God's purposes. You're a man who has the authority of Christ marked on your call. You actually worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you go down to 15 and 16, you're not just worshiping your position as a pastor. You're not just worshiping the fact that you gather together on a Sunday morning. You worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the sovereign God, he will touch your heart if you remain connected to him. If you remain connected to his attributes, his character, he will actually allow you to fight this good fight of faith. Yesterday, I had the wonderful privilege of spending time with a dear friend of mine, and he's retiring from the pastorate. He's been pastoring for years at Christ Community Church, and that's Pastor Bruce Plummer. Pastor Bruce and the church at Christ Community have supported the GNOC for several years and have been a blessing to our church. And so I had been invited to be a part of his send-off, and it was so encouraging when people were getting up to give their testimonies, because you learn a lot about when people are giving testimonies about a specific person. And one of the main characteristics about Pastor Bruce's ministry was that he definitely made time for people, and that he loved his people, and that no matter what they were going through, he wanted to make sure he was available for their cause. And person after person got up and shared that testimony. And he had a way of people who got up were actually very honest and said, when I came to Pastor Bruce, I was a wreck. I was far from God, or this was happening in my life, and this guy sat me down and he just said, this is what the Word of God says about that situation. Here's some things you can do about that situation, and you're going to come back here until we see a change in your life. We want that situation to change. And over, people got up and shared that beautiful testimony about him. And it was encouraging because here's this man who just served the Lord faithfully for decades at the same church, decades. And it was his desire to connect and shepherd people so that they could connect with God. He is really, I keep telling him, he's really one of the finest pastors I've ever met. And one of the things that I love, I get together with him on a regular basis. And when I get together with him, I don't have to tell him too much. He's already to tell me some things about what God's revealed in the Word, where God's taking him, and always is very interested in where I'm at in the Lord and what we can do together to actually strengthen my walk in Christ. It's just wonderful to be with a person like that. Well, that's what Timothy was experiencing with Paul. Even though it was a letter to Timothy, their hearts were so connected, and Paul had been his mentor for so long that he's not upset that Paul wrote to him to say, you really need to connect with God so that you can connect with others. When I think of joy, in 2020, I see and I've heard in my spirit for several weeks now that God is calling us to connect with him so we connect with each other as we connect with others outside the church. That connection has to happen on a regular basis. And I hear the Lord really challenging us that he wants us to live this godly lifestyle. He, just as he's exhorting and charging Timothy, he's charging us this morning to say, you're called as a congregation to fight this good fight of faith. And I'm calling you to this place where you take the righteousness of God, where you take godliness, you take endurance and gentleness, and you take these very characteristics of faith and love, and you shape your life around that. And when others, when you begin to connect with others, you're not going to have to, they're going to be drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to you. I remember the first time I met Pastor Bruce, Pastor Greta and I were at a ministerial meeting, and he's just sitting there, but there's just something about him that was, you were just drawn to him. He was like a magnet. You just wanted to spend time to get to know him. And that's what Paul was like to Timothy. And God's saying to us, when we connect with God, you're like a magnet for people who come from maybe the various things that you've overcome or the things that you were delivered from or the things that you've conquered or the things that God has accomplished in and through your faith. He brought them specifically to you because you can actually help lead them into a godly lifestyle to pursue the righteousness of Christ. Wow. But we have to be determined in our hearts that we're going to fight this good fight of faith. Another way that we can fight the good fight of faith is when we're inspired to live with an eternal perspective. When you look at verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, of the faith. Take hold of what? The eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When you are inspired to live with an eternal perspective, Paul was inspiring Timothy to fight, to strive for this prize. And he sought to infuse within Timothy a fighting spirit. He was saying, you can't allow your fear and your intimidation and your discouragement to continually redirect the path that God has you on. And the Greek word for fight gives us actually the English word agonize. That's where our word agonize comes from, which is used in the analogy of a military or athletic endeavor to describe the form of concentration, discipline, and extreme effort that it will take to win. And so when he's telling him that he wants him at this moment to fight, he's saying, I'm telling you right now, there will be times to fight the good fight. It's going to be agonizing. It's going to require discipline. It's going to require concentration. You're going to have to be inspired in your heart to do this. This isn't just going to come easy because you're a born-again believer, and now you have a call to preach to God's people, and you're pastoring a church. No, 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 no. You're going to have to make a daily decision to be inspired to fight this good fight. It's going to be a battle at times, and that's actually what he's facing at the moment. God wants to inspire us to fight the good fight of faith because it is a spiritual conflict. And it's not your spiritual conflict only. The enemy is battling for your soul. There are more people who leave the faith, get saved, serve the Lord for a while, then things get tough. Then the old things tempt them. Old relationships woo them. Old addictions grab them and snuff out their passion for Christ. And within time, they're walking away and they're blaming the local church for not doing what it should be doing when they have chosen worldly pleasures, the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Say, preach it, Pastor James.
Preach it. Preach it.
Preach it. Preach it, Pastor James. Don't make it comfortable for us, Pastor James. We want to hear the word. That's what we came to hear this morning, Pastor James. I've seen more people who God had a tremendous transformation through salvation in their lives. And then I saw discouragement slip in. Disheartening slip in for whatever reason. Then I saw their eye get off the cross. Then I saw them battle after battle after battle. And then they gave up hope. We may wonder why Joy has the mission statement. We want to build a bridge into our community and beyond so that all people can find hope, find love, find God. Do that with me. Find hope, find love, find God. Do it again. Find hope, find love, find God. That's our mission statement. Why? Because when people's hope is crushed, they do not feel the love of God. And it's difficult to find God. And that's why Timothy is being charged to fight the good fight because he can't give in to the culture and society that's redefining the gospel message, that's redefining what is truth, that's redefining what God requires. God requires love, faith, endurance, gentleness, godliness, and righteousness. He's saying those are not exempt from the Christian faith. He's saying, if you want an eternal perspective and you're going to be inspired to live that way, you better grab a hold of that. You better desire to live like that. And you better start giving up those things that represent the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because the devil is at your heels and he is going to drag you down to his pit. And you're going to need some good Christian brothers and sisters to pull you out of that with the Lord. He's saying, take hold of the fresh vision. He said, yes, you're saved. You gave testimony of your salvation, but you're not living in the moment as if every day counts. You have gotten lethargic. You're not concentrated. You're not disciplined, Timothy. And I'm saying right now that you need to regain the vision of your eternal purpose, your eternal destiny, and why you're living this faith every single day. I want you to actually get before God and ask God to download into you right now the salvation testimony that you have. And I want you to begin to share it. I want you to begin to pray it. I want you to begin to minister that in such a way that people are drawn to who you are in Christ. You see, we want vision galore in 2020, but sometimes the vision for a local church is, I want you to be red hot Christians. I want you to be people who are living with an eternal perspective, because if you're doing that, you won't be attracted to the world. You won't be attracted to the flesh. You won't be attracted to the schemes of the enemy. You'll stand strong, firm in your faith, and you'll look to the enemy and you'll say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." God wants to inspire us, and he wants us to be inspired. And we have opportunity every single week for people to be inspired here. Like today. Through worship, through fellowship, through meeting your brothers and sisters in Christ, participating in the presence of God as we seek to strengthen our faith together. That's awesome. We get to do that every week. Every week. Every week. I thought I said every week. Every week. And the doors are open in this church all the time. And there's so much for everybody to participate in, to be inspired, to fight this good fight of faith. We have community groups every single week. Get into a community group and grow. We have outreach galore. We built a ministry center so we could have everybody go and what? Share their faith, live their faith, and touch people's lives who have no faith. We do that every week. There's something to do here for everybody, not a select few. Every person is called to grow in their faith, to give in their faith, to go in their faith. Every person is to be inspired in their faith to do that. We have prayer meetings all the time. Every single week, there's a prayer meeting going on. We have our prayer tents that happen in the summertime. We have moments of inspiration when we have prayer weeks together. We just finished one. Times of fasting and prayer where you can be inspired to stir yourself to new levels of faith. One of the things that has really inspired my heart this week is Sister Shirley Jackson. Whenever I go to visit her or I call her, or she calls me, we spend 20 minutes and we pray together on the phone. And if you're going to call her, make sure you have time, is all I have to say. Just telling you, because once you're finished praying, she ain't finished. Just telling you the truth. So she calls me to pray for her. I'm like, oh, this is great. I get to pray for her and encourage her. And I think, going to hang up the phone. And, you know, and I thought, well, I'll do a great hearty amen. And she's like, hold on, Pastor. And she starts up and she heads in and she's calling this and calling that. And, the rafters are shaking in my room. She's stirring up something fresh in me. She's stirring something that I didn't know I needed to be stirred. She's telling me, oh, Pastor, I'm glad you can pray, but I want to pray for you because you need it just like I need it. Right? She inspires me. Yesterday, I was out on a long walk, and I when I was making this speech at Pastor Bruce's function, I had these three calls come in. I had left my phone on light, and I'm making a speech, and my phone's going. I'm like, oh, that's important. And I look, and it's Sister Shirley. And I called her. And so we just prayed and prayed. And then I'm telling you, she built up my most holy faith. All of us can do that. All of us can pray and inspire other people. All of us can easily just listen to somebody's heart and say, that person needs God right now. You see, what the church was going on, they weren't having prayer meetings. They were gossiping. They were backbiting. There was friction going on in the church of Ephesus. Read verses 1 to 10. There's a whole lot of junk going on in that church. Oh my gosh. They were calling themselves spiritual geniuses. Oh, no, they weren't. Oh, they were intelligent, and they knew how to debate the word. They were talking about crafty speech. I'm not interested in crafty speech. Can I tell you that? I'm interested in speaking the word of God. Everybody can be inspired to speak the word of God into somebody else's life. It's powerful. You're saying, well, how does that relate to an eternal perspective? Because it's so important. When I'm with Pastor, Miss Shirley, what happens is she does not end that prayer unless she's calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish her at that moment in his power, in his might, and in his kingdom. That's an eternal perspective. I want to inspire Joy Community Church to rise up to be a people of prayer and worship and the word. It is my heart that when I meet with people and I say to them, where are you at in the word of God? When was the last time you read it? You would not believe what I hear in my office or on my visits. And we want to do all these great things to touch the community and build this and do that. And God's saying, I want warriors. I'm interested in warriors. I'm interested in people being equipped so that they can get out of church on Sunday and live a godly lifestyle week after week. I'm interested in that, Pastor James. Amen? Talking about Vision 2020. People living with an eternal perspective of a godly lifestyle. That's exciting to me. And we have many things already in place for that to happen. Just a thought. You see, you have to determine in your heart if you're going to fight this good fight of faith. I can't make you do that. I could jump up here every Sunday. I could do the cheerleading. You know, I could do all that. It means nothing. Right here. This and the Spirit of the living God and the love of Christ, that changes and transforms people. But you do have to determine to fight the good fight of faith. You do need to connect with God. You do need to be inspired to live with an eternal perspective. Where am I going with this? Well, I want you to look at verses 13 to 14 with me. It says here, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and everything, right? Everything. And of Jesus Christ, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you, I challenge you, I inspire you. That's what that word means. I engage you, is what he's saying. I engage you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here to us, when you engage others and share your testimony of what Christ has done, and you live in such a way, you are fighting the good fight of faith. He's saying, when you engage others as you share your testimony, if you're filling in the blank, we want people to be connected to God. We want people to be inspired by God and to inspire others. And we want people to engage in what God is doing, but what God wants us to do as we share our testimonies with others. And Paul wanted Timothy to engage his call as a pastor in Ephesus with greater intention, with less intimidation. Paul mentions how Christ engaged in this good fight with boldness and confidence and determination. And I love Christ. If you go to John 18 and you look at verses 36 to 37, here it is right here. I'll read it to you. It reads this in John 18, verses 36 to 30. Here is what where I got this idea. So Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight, to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Pilate, "You are a king then?" said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is the truth?" Pilate asked. I wondered what that conversation was all about. Oh, I wish I could have been there. Because he actually heard the definition of what truth was. And when we look at this, we see that Jesus understood that he did not have to step back. He didn't have to wimp out. He had to take a bold stand. And he was heading into some major suffering. And so Paul takes Timothy back in Timothy chapter 6. He's taking him back to this moment with Pontius Pilate and Jesus to say, "Wait a second here. Your testimony is nothing like this. This, anything you're going through doesn't amount to any type of suffering that Christ is going through. And if Christ modeled it for you and could give that testimony knowing that Pontius Pilate was going to send him to the cross, but he still gave that testimony, how much more do you need to share that testimony? You need to engage others in what God has rescued you from." You see, Jesus knew who his power was in. He had seen his Father resurrect Lazarus from the dead. He knew, "You can put me 6 feet under, but I'm going to raise up from the dead on the third day anyway. You're not going to defeat me anyway. I know what's going to happen, and I'm going to overcome." Jesus says in the next chapter, actually in John chapter 19, 11, Jesus answered and said, I love this. Boy, we need this type of boldness. Can I tell you? Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." So he stands firm. He stands strong. He doesn't bend his faith. He has a perfect perspective of where this is all going. He knows that once he goes to the cross and he dies on the cross, that mankind's sin is forgiven. People will be released by the grace of God, forgiven for all their sin, come into what? An eternal perspective on life and live an inspired, connected life to God. That's powerful. That's why we need to get out of this place and we need to share our testimonies and we need the boldness when somebody's spitting in your face, nails. That's what Pilate was doing. And we need to have that boldness to stay the course. Say, "I'm not bending. This is what I believe. This is what I know the word to say. This is what I believe a godly lifestyle represents. No, that will no longer be a part of my life, whether you like me, whether you dislike me, whether you include me in your fun. That's not the direction I'm to take in my life." You need to know what God's requiring of you. More people are persuaded away by public opinion from truth. Can I tell you? I've been watching some things on the telly, and I can only tell you that as I watch those things, it's opinion that's persuading decisions, not truth. I need not say anything else. And I didn't say anything else. I should have, but I won't. Where are you going with this, Pastor James? Well, if Timothy engaged and stood his ground, Paul knew that the same Jesus who stood before Pilate, that his Father was with him. He knew his father never left him nor forsaken him. And in the crucial crisis of his life, he knew if he stood ground, God would give him the courage and the strength and the grace and the faith to follow through despite. So he's saying to Timothy here, if Christ, he trusted, he believed, he gave a bold testimony, and his father didn't leave him, and God won't leave you. We have that same privilege, folks. When we engage in what God's calling us to do in living a godly life, and when we stand up against even what he was facing in the church of Ephesus, you stand up against people who aren't happy with how you're living your life of faith. You all have experienced that at one time or another. It's in those moments when you make that decision and you determine in your heart, it's like, no, I am not bending on this. This is what God is saying in his word to me. I'm staying the course. And boom, God begins to release in you a confidence and a new faith to carry out despite. That just, you know, that doesn't mean that the enemy wasn't still pursuing him. You know why I know that? Because if the enemy had stopped pursuing him, Paul wouldn't have had to write another 4 or 5 chapters. You hear what I'm saying? He had to continue the story. Why? Because the same things were occurring in Timothy 2. And he had to what? Say, you are my son in the faith, God's grace and mercy and peace be yours. And so when we engage in giving this testimony of our God, God then downloads that grace, that mercy, and that love consumes us despite what the outcome of sharing that your faith will become. And you actually walk in a greater strength. If you just shut your mouth and you just walk away and you really say, hey, let God deal with that. I've done that. You miss out on a moment to strengthen your faith. And some of the times we think, well, if we don't have all the answers and we don't have the right scriptures and our prayers, well, they're kind of like, they're not where they should be. God just saying, do it. Just do it. And watch what I will do. I'll extend grace and mercy and love. We know that to be true because this is like a bookcase here. He opens 1 Timothy with grace and love and mercy. And he opens 2 Timothy with grace and love and mercy. And he says, in this perspective of eternal perspective and in this new step of faith I've challenged you to do, you stand today as a man of God, not weak, not fear, not intimidated, because you have every right to stand on the testimony Christ bore on the cross for you through his life. What's your testimony, Timothy? Engage. Engage. He even says him. He says here too, in verse, I think it's 14 here. Yes, to keep this command, he says, to keep this command without spot or blame. When you look at that word command in the Greek, it can mean a few things. Actually, it can mean the word of God, or it can mean an immediate charge given from the word of God. And this is actually the latter of the two. And this is actually a charge of 3 commands. And when you look at that word command, he's saying to him, okay, now I've talked to you about connecting with God and connecting with others. I've talked to you about being inspired and living with an eternal perspective. Now I'm saying you need to engage in such a way that others are attracted to your testimony. But now I want to remind you 3 specific words that are going to help you. Now, they're not, those 3 words are actually in other translations, but 2 of them are in this, and one means the other word I'm going to share. But he says, here's the 3 commands. Flee. When you know it's not God, get out of there right away. When you're making a choice to give in and give up, flee. When you're about to allow your character and your attitude and your behavior and your relationships to take a different direction than towards the Lord, assess it immediately. That's what he's saying. And then make a cognitive decision. Determine in your heart at that moment that you are going to fight the good fight and you're going to tell the enemy to flee from you and you're going to flee from that situation right now. Then he says to him, not only do I want you to flee, he said, I want you to follow. He said, where do I get that word from? Pursue. That's what he's saying in some other translations. Follow the character of Christ. Follow Christ's likeness. If you can't do anything else and you're intimidated and you're fearful and the enemy is getting down on you and you're discouraged in heart and disheartened, I'm saying to you, Timothy, I want you to follow what you already know and do that. Sometimes when you just do what you know you've got to do, you get out of the situation you're in. That's what he's saying to him. And then he says his last command is fight. So we see that in verses 11 to 12. He's saying, I want you to flee. I want you to follow. I want you to fight. There's the command. There's the charge. I want you to grab a hold of it. And when you do those three things, you will connect. You will be inspired. And you will engage in a fresh testimony of what God is currently doing in your life. And others will be drawn to your faith. Amen. Wow. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Remember, folks, that faith fights. Lord, help us in 2020. Let it be a year where we're determined to fight the good fight of faith. Help us, Lord, to connect with you and others. Help us to be inspired to live this life of eternal perspective and help us to engage others as we share our testimony of what Christ has accomplished in our lives. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to end with a song and then we're going to have prayer at the altar. I know we're running a little late, but hey, come on, let's worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.